Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At MidwayUSA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome to the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. Thanks for joining this week's weekend recap and rant. So let's, I'm just diving into it. You know, I just feel like skipping commercials. Screw it. Let's just get into it. So last Friday was the extended 3-day weekend thanks to the 4th of July. And so Friday we headed up to, well, Thursday, I guess, technically, we headed up to the cabin and used Friday to get my first ever hours logged onto the Whitefish chain, which is where the Tournament of Champions, the TOC, is going to be held here in Minnesota. And we have a club tournament coming up there soon. I've never been on this body of water. It's actually a chain of lakes, Upper and Lower Whitefish, and then there's Trout Lake. I'd have to pull it up on the map, but there's a bunch of different... Put it this way. There's a shit ton of water to break down. Like, a shit ton. I was a little overwhelmed for sure. But I went, you know, I'm like, all right, well, summer patterns kicking in. Let's go find some deep weeds. And I prodded around in those a little bit. Tried to inside weed line. The lake kind of sets up. It's one of those lakes, like, the shallows are really shallow. And there's not much going on there for weed growth. And then you get out, like, 4 or 5 feet. The weeds kind of start. And they go out to, say, like, 13. And it's about 13, 14, 50, 15, where that lake just plummets. Just drops straight off into super deep water, 40, 50 feet. So you would think that'd be easier to kind of locate fish, but I don't know. For me, it seemed a little bit harder. I mean, part of the problem is my electronics suck. I mean, I'm rocking two, this, here's me bragging. I'm rocking two 5-inch Hummingbirds. I have no power poles. I got a Motor Guide trolling motor that's on its last leg. So I need some serious upgrades. Like, for this lake, some side scan, some kind of, you know, structure scan would be super huge for sure. I'm also worried about, I shouldn't say, well, I think maybe worried is the right word, boat control. Because my trolling motor is just getting weaker and weaker and has nothing to do with the batteries. It just doesn't seem to have the oomph it used to could. And so if it happens to be a windy day on tournament time, boat control is going to be a problem. And, man, do I covet people that got a trolling motor with spot lock. Oh, that would just make life so much easier. I like to say it 90% of the time, if not 95% of the time, I'm out fishing and there's wind. I'm just like, oh, I need spot lock. It would just make life so much easier. Man, I sat down and just roughly, like in my mind, like, and I'm not even talking going crazy, like having three, you know, 12-inch graphs or anything like that, or God forbid four, you know, two up front, two in console. You know, just upgrading the two that I have to, like, I don't know, nines or something like that. So two graphs, two power poles, like a new Ultrex. I'm looking at $10,000 of upgrades. So I'm going to need you guys to start sharing this podcast a little bit more, because there's like near $0 rolling in for this thing. I'm mostly joking. Man, you know, Minn Kota wants to sponsor me. That'd be great. I'll try out, I'll take some used Ultrexes off your hand. God bless America. So anyways, back to the scouting. So I find some fish, but nothing, you know, nothing earth shattering. And I'm kind of catching them here and there. Not really anything you'd say a pattern, you know, that you could consistently count on. I know I could pound docks, and even though they're in kind of shallow water, you know, I caught a few off of docks. Again, it's not a hot and heavy pattern. There's a lot of garbage docks, but then you'd get a, you know, then you'd catch one. So worst case scenario, like if I don't find anything else in my scouting, like I know I should be able to put five in the box just on docks. Will there be five that'll win it or even get me, you know, anywhere near the top? Probably not, but you know, you never know. But there's so much water I haven't even looked at. I mean, so much. I only had like, I don't know, 3-4 hours of decent scouting time where I was able to kind of run around and check some spots. And being it that it was 4th of July weekend, being it that it was 8,000 degrees with no wind, the most wreck traffic I have ever seen on a body of water, like ever. That entire chain of lakes was just tumultuous, to put it in a word. Like, there is no wind, keep this in mind, but there's just waves crashing into waves crashing into waves. I mean, it was impossible. Not only for me to go like top speed from point A to point B, it was like half speed. I mean, it was just getting destroyed by these wakes. Oh, God, do I hate those wake boats. But it wasn't just wake boats, too. I mean, there was, you know, fishermen out there, and there was jet skis and water skiers, but it's definitely the wake boats that create the biggest wakes. It's in the name, and they just pissed me off. So I got pretty crabby, and I left, I don't know, maybe 1, 2 o'clock. But the bullshit part about that is I just couldn't even get back to the landing quick. I mean, the lake was just so ripped up. So I should have gone back again Saturday to go, you know, dissect some more water. But being as that was going to be like July 4th proper and it was still hot, I'm like, no. I need to find a smaller lake that's not going to have the amount of traffic. So I picked a different lake up there that I actually like to fish it on a, you know, at least once a year, if not twice. I won't say the name of the lake because it's pretty small, but it's in the Brainerd area, and it has really good bass in it, and I found out this day that it actually has really good panfish in it too. So I got out there, and another hot, sticky, calm day, and I start fishing, and I'm seeing bass, but they're being super finicky, probably because it's so bright, hot, and the water clarity is as clear as I've pretty much ever seen it on this lake. I'm not quite sure why it's so clear this year. Usually it's like a nasty ass algae bloom, but it was super clear, and you could see these bass swimming around in the reeds, but they didn't really want to hit much anything. Like, they would go and sniff at it, watch it go down, you know, throwing jigs, or they'd follow like a swim jig up to the boat, but they wouldn't hit it. And I never really threw a Ned rig. And in hindsight, I've been hearing people are really getting them on Ned rigs in this hot water. So maybe that smaller presentation, not quite so much in their face, would have worked. Later in the day, I started catching more on jigs and swim jigs, but got a little cloudy. And as soon as I got cloudy, they started to feed. So I do think it was kind of a light thing. There was kind of freaking them out. But kind of the weird thing was, is I was seeing old beds, and there was a couple bluegills in them. Like, they should be done spawning. But there was a handful of them still in there. And they weren't bad sized, the ones that were in the beds. But there were these little packs of giants just running around and swimming in and out of the reeds and stuff. And so I had to, I couldn't resist. Do some of these, you could see how big they were. I had to break out the ultralight. So I got that custom from Kichler's custom rods. That thing is so freaking sweet. I know I've gone on about it, but dudes, if you need a good panfish rod, get a hold of Kichler Custom Rods on Facebook. Give them another quick commercial here, because this rod is just so freaking sweet. I use any excuse to break that thing out. It's such a pleasure to fish with that thing. So nice. But just in general, a tip for fishing panfish, because again, that water is clear, and I started with tube, something a little bit heavier, and they'd rush up to it, look at it, and it'd kind of, you know, kiss it, but they wouldn't really take it, and then they would give up on it after a while. I couldn't even, like, jig them up. Like, once they went up to it, I changed colors 4 or 5 times, that wasn't working, and I had to go down to, like, this 1/64th ounce hair jig, and literally had to, like, get that thing wet before it would sink, and it sank so slow. But once I started throwing that thing, oh my god, they couldn't resist it. Like, they were coming from way out to smash this thing. So I don't know if it looked like the bugs they were eating or what, but that was a ticket for them. Man, I caught some tubs. Also, I'll put that stuff on Facebook and Instagram. So if you're not following me on there, go check that out. It's just Dale Luganville on Snapchat and Full_Scale_Outdoors on Instagram. But yeah, just some big hybrids and big pumpkin seeds. Caught some bluegills, kind of a little bit of everything that day. Did I catch any Rockies that day? I think I did catch one or two rock bass, but they weren't too impressive. But man, those hybrids are so thick. I think the biggest one I got was 9.5. Couldn't actually get a 10-incher, but a 9.5 hybrid is such a toad. Because they're not as, you know, they share that genetics with the pumpkin seeds. They just don't get as long as bluegills do. So a 9.5 hybrid is a, man, that thing's a toad. Super fun to catch, but it's just crazy. So what I was going to say is, if you're going to get a good ultralight for panfish, try to find the longest rod you can find, and preferably something that you can pair with, balance with, like a 1000 series reel, because it's the line is going to come off that reel so much better than, you know, it seems overkill, because you could put about 400 yards of 4 pound test on this thing. But when you get those ultralight reels, those little reels, or when they come in a combo, whatever, they're basically ice fishing reels. And the line just doesn't come off. I mean, it does, but it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of resistance there. It's coming out of that little narrow slot, so there's a lot of friction. It just doesn't come off that easy. But when you have that wider spool, that 1000 series, that line can just pop right off of there really easy. So, I mean, with that 1/64th ounce, I wasn't able to, like, cast it 50 yards or anything, but I was able to get it out there a little ways, but I didn't really need to cast far, because I was, for the most part, I was sight fishing these things. So I would just kind of do a little flick, and it would send it out there, though. So, I mean, having the longer rod definitely helps. Having that bigger spool definitely helps. So think about that next time you go shopping for a panfish setup. Try to get the longest one that you can. And you're going to be somewhat disappointed, because there's not too many rod makers out there that make them as long as at least I wanted. So that's why I got a hold of Alan at Kichler Custom Rods. Check him out on Facebook. So there's your commercial, Alan. Well-deserved commercial, by the way. I freaking love that rod. It's so nice. So I went back to bass fishing and kind of just went back and forth. You know, I had the rods on the deck there, and I'd, for the most part, bass fish, but then if I saw a little one of them roaming schools of tubs, I'd drop the bass rod and pick that ultralight up and catch a few more of those, and that was super fun. So then Sunday rolls around, and again, I'm like, oh, I probably should go back to Whitefish Chain, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it, and picked another little kind of a smaller lake, Yeah, one that had some smallmouth in it. So at least I could practice, you know, stretch the smallmouth bass muscles a little bit. And again, bright sky, no wind, it's clear water, tough conditions. And getting a couple to bite, nothing big. I think I was throwing a Ned rig and threw a drop shot a little bit. But I think I need to let them soak a little more because we can actually see them running around in the shallows a little bit. And even some of the deeper water, that water is like super clean. And I just had a feeling like if I can see them, they can see me. They're on edge. They're probably super pressured. And so what I should have been doing is backing way off and just making long bomb casts and just letting that thing sit, almost dead sticking that until they kind of come back around and sniff at it and take it. But we did get a little bit of wind, then did kick up later in the day, and that helped. They started to bite a little bit better once that light level got down there. So that was definitely kind of throwing a monkey wrench into the plans. But we just catch some panfish. I broke that rat out again. But we started seeing some dogfish, and I love catching dogfish. So, I mean, they'll take just about any bait you have. So, you know, we're bass fishing, going along, kind of in these swampy areas where the largemouth would be, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's dogfish right there. And you would try to cast to it, and I had one hit but miss it. Like, it grabbed it and just boom, bolted, but he didn't end up getting a hook in his mouth. And then we did end up finally hooking up with one on a Ned rig. That was fun because that was on like a medium rod, a spin cast rod. So he gave me a good tussle there. Didn't measure him or weigh him or anything, but it was a decent sized one. As far as rock or dogfish go, it wasn't too terribly huge, but it was fun. God, I don't know what it is about them things. I just love catching them. I think the sight fishing thing is what I like about it. I mean, to just go out there and like blind cast for them, that'd be pretty tough. For one, you're just going to end up catching a bunch of bass and northerns, which isn't a bad thing. But if you like specifically went out to catch dogfish, it'd be pretty tough. But when the conditions are right and the water's clean enough, you can definitely slink around in those shallows and just spot them laying on the bottom. Or when you see one roll, I caught one a few weeks back on Bay Lake doing that. I just saw one come up, you know, to roll, like gulp some air and go back down, and I flipped my swim jig over there a couple times, and sure enough, he hit it. So you can definitely do that, which I recommend because it's a ton of fun. Don't overlook the old dogfish. I was talking to somebody online, and they were Missouri or Tennessee or something, and shared that picture with them, and they're like, oh, is that, do you guys got a kill those two? Is that the law down there? And I'm like, I guess I haven't looked at your laws, but I'd be real surprised if that's your law. I was like, no, they're a native species up here. I know I've heard that growing up, like all rough fish, it's actually against the law to let those go. You hear other kids say it's like, actually, no, it's against the law to kill them and leave them on the bank. That would be wanton waste, including carp, which are invasive. But I think they call carp naturalized now. Pretty sure. But anyways, a little side rant. Didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole, but just thought it was weird. Just another one of those things that people repeat, you know? They don't ever read it for themselves, and they just like, oh, yep, it's illegal. Can't do that. Can't let those rough fish go. But yeah, don't do that, please. Don't kill them and leave them on the bank or throw them back in the water. They're doing just fine. They've been in the lakes for forever. They're not hurting any fishery, so they're probably actually a sign of a good fishery, more than likely, like any top predator fish would be. So anyways, that was a lot of fun. And then so I headed back. I only fished about like 12:30, and then headed back to the cabin. It's time to get, you know, packed up and head back home. But I did have a few hours, so I wanted to hit the river again by my where the cabin's at, and just run around. And the weird thing about that day on that river, I could not catch a smallmouth in like my typical smallmouth spots. Like, I checked them all and threw a bunch of different stuff, and Ned rig and a jig and a drop shot, nothing. And then I go to this slop spot, and it's super, like, backwater, stagnant water. It's where I had, I've heard the last recap, but I had hooked a big pike on a frog, and a tooth came out. And that was kind of a cool picture, too, but I was in that same area. And so it's just, like, super backwater, like, no current back there, just scuzzy-looking water. Usually it's good for, you know, one big largemouth back in there. And I'm throwing the frog, and I get blown up on it, and then I see, and he misses it, and then I see three other fish swim kind of by, and I was like, and the water's so dark, I was like, those look like smallmouth. No, they had to be largemouth. That's crazy. But even then, I've never seen that many kind of like in there roaming around. And there's like down trees and stuff in there. And so I go a little further, and I'm flipping around, and I'm trying to get that bass to bite again. He won't bat. He won't. And I'm just making like long bomb casts because it's just the water's like super shallow, even though it's murky. Like you can get on top of them in no time. And this fish blows up my bait. I thought it was a northern because I was kind of in the middle of nowhere, really. And I let it sit, twitch a couple times. Boom! He smashes it, set the hook, and catch like a 3-pound smallmouth. Like, I just, like, what in the heck are these fish doing back in here? But that kind of made sense. It had to be a food source. I don't know what else would have drove them up to go into that swampy largemouth bass style water area. And then that makes sense if they're in there that they weren't on their traditional, like, rock spots. So that was kind of weird. Have no real explanation for it, but that was just bizarre. And so that was the fishing. As far as my rant goes, well, this is, I guess I can kind of segue this into. So a side note, when I was leaving that other lake that had smallmouth in it, talking to the weed cop there at the landing, he was saying how, like, oh, sounds like fishing was pretty good out there. I said, well, we caught a few, nothing too crazy size-wise. He's like, well, this couple just came off. They had their limit of big bass. I was like, limit? They kept them? They're like, yeah, that big one's like four or five pounders in all of them. I was like, what in the heck? So I was like, well, so they were using like live bait and leeches or whatever, which is fine. It's, you know, obviously it's their right to do. And I kind of had that instinct to kind of like shame them a little bit. But it's like, you know what? If they're using bait, bass fishing, chances are, you know, they're not hardcore anglers. This is probably the one weekend they fish a year. It sucked that they took a limit of you know, really good sized fish out of that lake, especially how slow smallmouth grow. Yeah, it sucks, but would have been worth me bashing them? No, wouldn't have changed anything either. So, you know, if anything, they had a really good time and they're gonna buy a fishing license again next year, so that could be a good thing. You know, we do have to kind of walk this fine line between preservation and promotion when it comes to the sport. You know, we have to keep that in mind when people aren't doing it the way we think they should do it. Or it's one thing to take the time to know, you know, to try to educate or bring awareness about a certain, you know, conservation minded theory you might have or way of going about it. But that hard line, poke them in the chest, shame them, judge them kind of thing, it's just never received well. And that kind of leads me into what was going to be my main rant. And it's just like you go online and all these different Facebook groups, you know, whether it's a bass group or a trout group or just a general fishing group, whatever it is, man, people have got to just dial her back. Like someone will say, you know, something or ask a simple question and they just get ripped a new one. Like I like teasing people as much as the next guy, but some of these people actually like seem legitimately angry or just giant douchebags. The one recently, and it did kind of backfire on the guy, but he was like, here's a thing of all the fishes in Minnesota, so get one of these. I'm tired every week. There's a new, is this a rock? What kind of fish is this? Learn your fish, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's my message to that guy. Not everybody is on this at the same place in their pathway into fishing. They could have just started. You know, maybe they do only fish one weekend a year. I mean, how much are you gonna know? Are you gonna force people to take a fish identification class before they can get a fishing license? Yeah, that'll help fishing license sales. That'll really help the sport. So that was, I mean, yeah, I see it too. And you're like, oh, here we go again. Is this a warmouth? No, it's a rock bass. Is this if that's a dogfish? Yep. Nope. That's a rock bass. That's a green sunfish. That's not a hybrid bluegill bass. It's, you see them, and for those of us that know, if you know, and you see it, you're like, oh my God, that's so easy. How do you not know that? They don't know because they don't know it. Fishing is probably not their number one hobby. They probably weren't obsessed with it since they were five, like the rest of us, You just got to keep that in mind and just take a softer approach. I don't mean to sound all hippity-dippity here, but I mean, he just came off looking like ass. And thankfully, a bunch of people jumped on there and kind of got on him about it. And of course, and then here's where I appreciate, the shit-talking when it comes in. So, of course, the very next couple posts is, a picture of a dogfish and a rock bass with the, title of, what's this? and then they start tagging the guy. Ah, it's beautiful. It's brilliant. Now, that's funny. That's funny right there. But somebody who just doesn't know, I see it too. I like the saltwater fish whenever I can. It's not nearly enough. Obviously, being in the middle of the country makes it a little more difficult. But they face the same thing. And I see the same thing out there. I see the same fish pop up. I'm like, hey, what is this? That's a bluefish. Hey, what is this? That's a ladyfish. But again, if you don't know, you don't know. And if you do, you do. There's only one way to learn, and they're asking questions. So, sure, they got Google, and they could sit there and they on their phone, and they could Google, and they could try to type out the description in there and go through page after page of different fish and try to figure it out. Sure, they could do that. But the other good thing the internet has for you is Facebook. Are these groups with experienced anglers on it that can just straight up tell you? So, think of it as a learning moment. Here's a chance for you to show off what you know in a good way and not being a douchebag about it. So that's what I got for you for as a rant today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. Headed back up this weekend to do a little more scouting and pre-fishing on the whitefish, and I'm holding myself to it. I got to eliminate a shit ton of water up there. Hopefully get some sort of bite figured out because I think it's the following weekend that is the actual club event. So that'll be fun. I got that club event coming up. And then I believe they close the waters down for scouting, pre-fishing for a while before the TOC. And then, right after, the club event is on the first 2 days that my family does our annual trip to Pelican, which I cannot wait to get up there. So I'm going to miss the first couple days fishing that. But so right from whitefish, I'm going even further north, head up to Pelican for some 5 days of fun fishing. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. So then sometime in August is the TOC. And then, shit, before you know it, goose hunting is going to go out. So that brings me to this. I did line up some land. So Full Scale Outdoors is going to be running some guided goose hunts this fall. Early goose season, mid season is when that land is really good. Got some great small grain fields lined up, so, and some silage corn. So that's going to be, with the hatch this year, that should be real, real, real good. So keep an eye open on social medias. I'll announce when those hunts are going to be. They'll be every weekend. So, if you want to pre-book, you definitely can. So get a hold of me, send me a message. If you want to carve out a weekend and get your party in before it's booked, you can definitely do that. So there's that. Everybody go check out Waypoint Outdoor Collective. It's another great place for you to find all sorts of great outdoor podcasts. Waypoint TV app gives you great shows, movies, documentaries, and the podcast. So put that right on your phone. You can take that everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Also, thebeardstruggle.com for great beard care products. Use code FULLSCALE15 to get yourself 15% off. Oh, I almost forgot. So I did end up officially joining a pro staff. So Cody with in Loon State Bassmasters with me is on their this pro staff, and they reached out to him, and they were looking to add a few more people from Minnesota. He asked me if I would be interested, and it's Mossy Oak Fishing. So, I mean, I'm very familiar with Mossy Oak, but I hadn't really wasn't that familiar with Mossy Oak Fishing. So I kind of asked them about it. I'm like, well, I don't really use the stuff, so I kind of felt weird about it. But I'll check it out, you know. And so the director got a hold of me, and we talked on the phone. And turns out that they have a bunch of partner companies that has stuff that I do use, kind of like hook apparel. So he's a really cool dude. Glad I talked to him. And he convinced me to apply and sign up for it. And I'm actually pretty pumped. So I checked out their stuff, Mossy Oak Fishing, their apparel. And they got like the thin, breathable stuff, like a hook or, you know, blackfish or something like that. So I'm definitely going to pick some of those up and give it a shot. I'll tell you how I like them. I'm pretty sure I like them. They all seem to be pretty much the same. Kind of some cool patterns. And then also, I'll write into all the Mossy Oak stuff for hunting camo, so I'll be checking that stuff out as well. So I have officially joined a pro staff. I am a Mossy Oak Fishing pro staff member, so team or whatever they call it. Anyways, so I'll be bugging you about that as we go along. Won't spam you too hard, but try to keep it honest. You know, if I like it, I like it, and I will tell you that. If I don't, I don't. You'll hear that too. So. Again, thanks everybody for listening. This has been the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. Whatever your passion, pursue that full scale.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
You'd think, with four of us spread out on a tiny island, that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But, as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.